Hello and welcome in to First Draft. My name is Daniel Dopp, filling in for Field Yates just one more time this year. Field will be back later on this week, but today, if you are joining us, we're going to be doing the armchair GMing of the century. That's right. I'm going to welcome in Mel Kiper Jr. in a little bit to be able to dive into a bunch of different teams. We're going to play pretend GM and what we would do in the NFL draft. But if you're new to First Draft, thank you for joining us. You can check us out every Monday and Thursday on the ESPN on NFL YouTube page. We are also live as a podcast everywhere that you get your podcasts, and you can watch us on ESPN2 on Mondays at 2 p.m. as a re-air. So with that, I bring in the legend, the godfather, the guy that is the NFL draft, Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, just when I thought I was out, you pulled me back in. How you doing, baby?
Can't get enough of Daniel Dopp, pal. You did a great job. You got A-plus grades across the board. High first rounder. Love maybe it. A number one pick overall after the day. Daniels, let's get it rolling, pal. I teased this last week, and we a name out there, this cornerback. So I don't like to tease people too long. I like to give them some information and move forward. We got some great stuff during the course of the show today.
Oh, yes, we do. And you did. Last Thursday, you teased a cornerback that more people needed to know about, not getting enough fanfare right now. Tell me what this quarterback's name is so that we can make sure that he's on our radar.
Daniel, everybody's journey, everybody's path to the NFL is different. You got to overcome a lot sometimes to get to the National Football League. You got to open some eyes. You got to do it a different way, right? A unique way. And for a guy like Quantez Stiggers, playing the Canadian Football League, but prior to that, you think about going to Lane College, D2 Lane College, then moving on. Didn't play there. Moves on to that fan-controlled indoor league. Then he gets a tryout in the Canadian Football League. Ends up hooking on with the Toronto Argonauts in 2023 and becomes the Canadian Football League Rookie of the Year. Intercepts 5 passes. Everybody's eyes are on him. Who's this guy? We should be watching him very closely. He gets an invite to the East-West Shrine Game. Does a good job there. Tests out pretty well overall. 5'11", 205, runs 4.45, vertical 37. He had 5 picks, as I said, with the Canadian Football League this past year. So the ball skills, when you watch them, Daniel, are evident. The awareness and coverage is obvious. He's a willing tackler, which you have to be in a National Football League. Yeah. So everything you want, everything you need in a young corner, maybe have a year or two to get it done in the NFL, special teams, work his way into the mix in the defensive secondary. This kid is a day 3 later round pick. Will make some sense, I think, to a National Football League team.
I love hearing that, Mel. And this is one of those things. I know that my team, the Detroit Lions, are going to use a pre-draft visit on Quantez Stiggers. And it's one of those situations where, because they're coming out of the CFL, I want to ask you, when you look at this tape, how is CFL tape looked at differently than college tape? Is this considered like, hey, man, they're already in a league with better players than you're seeing in college? Or is this one of those, we're just trying to get as much information on a guy as we can?
Well, you see him go against some pretty good receivers, and the thing is, you're watching him in the East-West Shrine practices and do the job there. So the bottom line is, he's had opportunities, and the skill set that he has is evident when you watch him, okay? He plays to those numbers. Yep. And I think the fact that he's so instinctive is something you can't teach your coach. So he has that ability. You got to be tough enough to be able to tackle and support against the run and tackle in space, and he's shown that capability, Daniel. So as a developmental prospect who hasn't played a lot of football, okay, didn't play at Lane, then the fan-controlled indoor league, yep, then the Canadian Football League for 1 year, okay, so he's a developmental raw talent, but the talent is there, the ability is there, and the want to is there, highly motivated, and that's what you are working through adversity, dealing with adversity. I always tell kids, play the game, doesn't matter what level you're playing at, right, D3, NAIA, right, doesn't matter, NFL eyes will find you if you can play. Yep. And that's the bottom line with Quantez Stiggers. No, he didn't just give it up. He overcame adversity, and now he's on the NFL radar.
Well, you had mentioned it as well. It sounds like, given all the things, looking at a potential day 3 pick for him. I just love the story of guys being able to find their way to let their dreams come true, right? Not giving up like you had talked about. And this is one of those situations. Maybe we have more players from the CFL or... spoiler alert, UFL is starting up here pretty soon, Mel. Maybe we're going to get a couple of extra players we got to get some eyes on. So very excited, and I'm with you. Quantez Stiggers, a guy that more people need to know heading into draft season. All right, Mel Kiper Jr. and I are going to dive into a number of teams playing the armchair GM position. When we come back, stick around. We got more First Draft right around the corner. All right, back here on First Draft with Mel Kiper Jr. My name is Daniel Dopp. Mel, It's armchair GM time. I could not be more prepared for this. This is the kind of job that I can handle. You want me to talk about something I'm not qualified to talk about? That's great. This is perfect. But it's also why you are here. So let's dive into the Minnesota Vikings, because they've done a couple of things so far this offseason. Obviously, Kirk Cousins has left, now in Atlanta. You and I talked pre-show about Sam Darnold coming in, potentially being in the best spot that he has been in as a quarterback. And also, Aaron Jones coming over to this team to be able to be the lead running back there. They lost Danielle Hunter and brought in Jonathan Greenard. So when I look at this, all those things that I said, the big thing that stands out to me, they made a trade with the Houston Texans for the number 23 overall pick. They now have picks 11 and 23. Do you think that this Vikings team is going to look to trade up inside that top three to potentially get a quarterback? Or do you see them with their two first rounders standing tight and trying to get someone like J.J. McCarthy, hopefully, to fall to them? What would you do here if you were the Vikings GM?
This is a tough call because, obviously, moving up, okay, who are you going to move up with? If you're going to move up with New England, New England has to give up on a quarterback that you want, and they need just as much as you do.
Yep.
So this is the fascinating part of this draft, Daniel, because New England in that division, in the AFC, has to get a quarterback. Minnesota, you think about the emergence of Jordan Love with the Green Bay Packers. Jared Goff wins in Detroit, right? That team we thought was on the cusp. They were on more on the cusp. They could have gone a long way, and they did this year, even could have gone a little longer if guys would have caught the football and some decisions would have been made by the coaches. They have to work that out a little bit better. And here's the Minnesota Vikings with Sam Darnold. Is he a bridge quarterback, a former early first-round pick who was a bust that never develops into anything better than a backup? Well, guess what? He's got one last shot. This is Sam Darnold's out. We said it's Sam's time, right? Sam's the man, right? When is Sam going to be the man? Is this opportunity the best he's had? Yes, it is. Why, Daniel? You touched on it. The O-line, you got Darisol and you got O'Neal, two bookend tackles. Talk about weapons. You got a guy like Jefferson, right? You got Addison. They took to the first round last year. You got another guy like Hockenson, right? Then you go to the backfield. Aaron Jones. You got Ty Chandler. What else do you need? Josh McCown's the quarterback coach. You got Kevin O'Connell. You're in a dome. Detroit's in a dome. Everything sets up for Sam Darnold maybe to be a little more than a bridge, but you don't know that. So you got to have the insurance policy, right? And the insurance policy will be to move up and get the quarterback you deem franchise material. Josh McCown coached Drake May in high school, okay? Drake May at 3. New England, you think, pencil it in, right? New England's in a division with Josh Allen and Tua, right? And Aaron Rodgers, the AFC with Mahomes and Herbert and Burrow and Lamar, and the list goes on and on, right? They got to get the quarterback. Well, is Drake May going to be New England's guy? Or is it going to be J.J. McCarthy? Is New England going to say, we don't like either one of them. We're going to move out of there and let Minnesota go up and get that guy. So if you go to 3, you get Drake May, but we don't know if New England wants out of there, right? Then you say, well, can you go to 4 in Arizona? Can you go to 5 in the Chargers if you want J.J. McCarthy? Do they love J.J. McCarthy? We don't know that. So again, if you do, if you're, say, Arizona and you move out of 4, you lose a wide receiver.
Yeah.
You lose all 3 of the receivers dropping down to 11. The Chargers aren't in as bad a spot, Daniel, because they need a receiver, but they also need a right tackle. And J.C. Latham from Alabama or Tali Fuaga from Oregon State could still be there at that point and would still be there at that point. So I think it's a great opportunity for the Chargers at 5 if that's the spot, because it wouldn't hurt them by moving down and would allow the Minnesota Vikings to move up. At that point, with May gone, it would allow them to get J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, being able to use both those first-round picks to potentially get your franchise quarterback. Although, we mentioned this beforehand. I would love to see Sam Darnold be able to be successful in the NFL. This is one of those guys that I feel like went to the Jets, didn't have a good run of it, went to the Panthers, didn't have a great run. You mentioned it. This is probably the last shot at a real starting job with the best crew that he's ever had. If the Vikings could use 11 and 23 on players to put around him, that would be fantastic. But like you said, we don't know. It's not a for sure thing that Sam Darnold can be that guy. So you've got 2 picks in the first round, Mel Kiper, and then you've got to wait a real long time because you've got 7 picks on day 3. You're not picking again in day 2. So if you are the Vikings, you've got a bunch of picks in those later rounds to shore up a ton of holes on your roster. What else do the Vikings need to do with those day 3 picks?
Well, let's see what they do with the quarterback spot. Then the cornerback situation, right? You think about where we are there in terms of the cornerback. I mentioned Quantes Diggers is a day three pick. You look at where we are, say, just say, for instance, you're at 11 and 23 and you can't move. Will, you said J.J. McCarthy be there? There's all this talk that they got to get the five to get ahead of the New York Giants because the Giants would take J.J. McCarthy as an insurance with Daniel Jones coming off the injuries. You don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be building on what he did a couple years ago or not really developing into the quarterback to Brian Daboll hoped he could be. Then you look at 23. Then you could say, okay, at 11, is Bo Nix maybe your guy? Is Michael Penix Jr. your guy if you can't trade up and McCarthy's gone? Then at 23, you could look at corners like Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, right? So you have defensive backs that could still be there that are really attractive, I think, to the Vikings. Defensive line, defensive tackles, another area they could address at some point. So if they do package those picks, then you're not picking until the fourth round. Then you're moving up to get that quarterback. That's what it's all, this draft is all about, either Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, if that happens. But at some point, Daniel, the cornerback spot, the defensive tackle spot will need to be addressed.
Yeah, and you mentioned it already. I mean, the NFC North, the Lions found Jared Goff, and they're surely going to extend him. Jordan Love looked great for the Green Bay Packers, and the Chicago Bears are going to get their signal caller of the future, having the number one overall pick. So the Vikings in the NFC North have got to make sure that they have their guy. All right, you had just mentioned it. A little spoiler alert, but you talked about the New York Giants. Let's dive into them a little bit. Because with Daniel Jones, I don't know how you sign a guy to a four-year, $160 million contract and then don't give him guys to throw the football to. Saquon Barkley is now gone. He has been replaced by Devin Singletary. In part, I'm sure there's going to add more running backs to that room. They also brought in Brian Burns and gave him a five-year, $150 million deal to be able to shore up that defensive front. But when I look at this, Mel, you mentioned they have the number six overall pick. They've got Daniel Jones, who they just put under contract at the start of last year and then the injury. Are they going quarterback here at six, or would you go another route to give Daniel Jones some weapons?
Well, this is going to be interesting because if McCarthy is gone, it makes the decision easy. It's a wide receiver. It's Malik Nabers, LSU. It's Romo Dunze from Washington, right? Assuming Marvin Harrison Jr. is gone, wide receiver from Ohio State. If J.J. McCarthy's still there at six, what do they do? Brian Daboll, would he say, okay, I love J.J., I like Daniel Jones, so now I have a win-win. If Daniel Jones emerges as a great quarterback, I can trade J.J. McCarthy and get a lot in return because he would be, you think about next year's draft, Shador Sanders, Colorado, Carson Beck, Georgia. J.J. McCarthy would be very valuable in a trade, okay, if Daniel Jones emerges as a outstanding quarterback.
Sure.
So if he doesn't, then J.J. McCarthy is a guy. J.J. McCarthy is still very young, just 21 years of age, two full years as a starter. He still needs some time, okay? Even though he has had a couple of years at Michigan, he hasn't had to carry a team. We talked about in the fourth quarter and throw a lot of passes, right? It's fourth quarter numbers because they were running the football. Didn't throw a pass in the second half against Penn State. He needs a little time. So I think the interesting part of this and the fascinating part of this equation would be J.J. McCarthy there at six. What do they do? Because guess what? You're putting Daniel Jones in a rough spot going into this year without a go-to receiver. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver, Daniel, since 2018, right? At 6 years, they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver. Giants last since Daniel Jones came into the league in explosive pass plays. They don't have that Malik Nabers, who's the most explosive receiver in this draft. You don't look at a Romo Dunze, steady, reliable, consistent, great ball skills. You'll bet catch radius, contested grabs go his way. That's assuming Marvin Harrison Jr., who's outstanding, is gone. So you're going to pass on two elite receivers that you desperately need and have not had to take a guy who could be the heir apparent or challenge Daniel Jones. That's going to be a tough decision to make. It's an easier decision if J.J. McCarthy's gone.
Sure.
That's why we talk about get ahead of the Giants, okay, if you're the Minnesota Vikings or if you would say Denver. Denver doesn't have a second-round pick, so it's tough for them. But Minnesota wants to get ahead of the Giants who could take J.J. J.J.'s gone. It gets down to with Marvin Harrison likely gone. Then it would be a decision between Nabers and Odunze.
But, Mel, I feel like you already said it. You said it's been 6 years since the Giants have had a 1,000-yard wide receiver? How do you think that a quarterback is going to be successful when he doesn't have guys to be able to throw the football to in that situation? And now that Saquon Barkley has left, this is one of those things, huge decision, like you're talking about. Do you find another quarterback because you no longer believe in Daniel Jones? Or do you find those young weapons to see if that guy you paid $160 million to can work? That's the thing. All right. Now let's
and running back, Daniel, you mentioned it real quick. The running back position, Devin Singletary's there, right? You know, Brian Daboll had him in Buffalo. A running back spot at some point needs to be addressed, and there's some depth at that spot. There's no running back taken until the third round, likely, which is going to push guys into the fifth, sixth, seventh round it can play. So we get into a Blake Corum coming out of Michigan, a Jalen Wright coming out of Tennessee. Where does Jonathan Brooks go off the ACL on November 11th against TCU, running back out of Texas? Really good back. Would have been a solid second rounder. How far down does he drop, right? You think about a guy like Trey Benson at Florida State, ran that 4.39, can catch the ball out of the backfield. There's a lot of running backs that are going to get pushed down a little bit, because I don't think a running back will come off the board maybe until round three. So that's a position that they will address at some point, the New York Giants.
Yeah, and I quickly want to go back and look at these wide receivers with you real quick. They drafted Jalin Hyatt in the third round last year. They got Wandale Robinson, who they liked, but we haven't seen a whole lot from him, and Darius Slayton. And that's really it. I mean, the cupboard is pretty bare when it comes to pass catchers. So when you talk about Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze, if you had to break the tie, which one of those two would you go with if you were the Giants GM?
I've always all year been consistent. I gave the slightest of edges to Rome Odunze. I just looked at a kid who was consistent week in and week out. Even the Utah game, he had three catches, a couple touchdowns. Every other game, five or more receptions. And Jalen McMillan was a little banged up. Rome Odunze, I talk about how smooth he is, which means he's deceptive, right? You don't realize how fast he is. You misjudge his speed. And I'll tell you what, when he is in a contested situation where a cornerback thinks he has him covered, he doesn't. This catch radius, the natural pass receiving skills, the incredible hands, the competitive nature of Rome Odunze's game. This kid is outstanding. Malik Nabers put it all together this 1 year at LSU. Rome Odunze in 2022 and 2023 was outstanding. Now, he did kick up that touchdown total from 8 to 15. Yards per catch a little improved, but the receptions were there. This kid was getting open. He was making big plays for Michael Penix Jr. the last 2 years, right? Malik Nabers, this was his year. This was the year he kicked it up a couple notches and became that go-to guy, that dynamite, dangerous, explosive option in the pass game for Jaden Daniels with Brian Thomas Jr., who's going to probably be a mid-first-round pick. The opposite him in that LSU offense that had to score points because their defense couldn't stop anybody. You watch him here, catch the football. What I love about Nabers is he is a baller. He is a competitor. He says, hey, if I got an ankle, and I'm playing through every injury. We are tough down here in Louisiana. Look at the improvement in terms of average per catch, but look at that touchdown number. 3-14, right? That's the difference in the explosiveness and the ability down the field, taking a top off of defense, which he does, and also taking a short catch and making a 60-yard touchdown. Yards after catch is what he's a key to in that offense for that passing game and for that offense in general. So Malik Nabers, it's a tough call. I've talked to teams, Daniel, and it's a 50-50 split. Some say Odunze slightly. Some say Nabers slightly. Field Yates says some people he's spoken to have Nabers ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. Whoa. So guess what? They're all outstanding, all three of them. And that's why I say, Daniel, to reiterate, if you're trading out of three and you're out of four and you're Arizona, you're trading out of five and you're the Chargers, you're losing those receivers.
Yep.
You're losing those three. You're losing those two if Harrison's gone. So that's a tough decision. And the Giants obviously would love to have any one of those three at six. But if the quarterback's there, it really makes it interesting.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot that happens at the very top of the first round. Some years, it feels like the draft is already planned out for us. Some years, there's got a lot of question marks to figure out what's going to happen and how the chips are going to fall. All right, stick around. We got more Armchair GMing with Mel Kiper Jr. coming up on First Draft in just one moment.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, back here on First Draft, Mel Kiper Jr. and Daniel Dopp. Mel, let's dive in. We just talked about the New York Giants. Let's go to the other New York team and talk about the Jets. They obviously brought over Aaron Rodgers last year, and with that decision, they have a finite window in which they are trying to make a run. This is not like they brought over a 25-year-old. Aaron Rodgers is 40 coming off of that big injury. So when you look at this, Joe Douglas has the number 10 overall pick in this draft, and then doesn't pick again until the third round. So for you to maximize Aaron Rodgers' window here, what is it that you would do as the Jets GM with the 10th overall pick?
Got two options here, Daniel, and it's really going to be interesting to see what Joe D does. Joe Douglas, he thinks, built this offensive line. But what's the one caveat? They're injured. They're older. They're 33 years of age. Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, right, have had some injury issues. You think about Vera Tucker, injury issues inside at the guard spot, right? You got Tippmann. You added Simpson. You think you've kind of reconstructed this line, right? But really, have you? Because there has been injury issues with your bookends, and they're both 33 years of age. So do you, if you're Joe D, do you want to go Joe Douglas with an offensive tackle like a J.C. Latham from Alabama or a Tali Fuaga from Oregon State, which is kind of an insurance policy in case there's an injury there? Or do you want to get Aaron Rodgers and hope that these offensive linemen, these five, can stay healthy? Hope that that can be your line from start to finish, and you can add a Brock Bowers. If you add a Brock Bowers to a Mike Williams, and you can keep Mike Williams healthy, which has been an issue with him, right? So you got to get another option in there because you don't know if Mike Williams can play 17 games for you. You certainly have Garrett Wilson, who's great, right? Brock Bowers is special. He's a natural pass catcher. He's incredibly versatile. He's got tremendous run after the catch ability. Very rarely, if ever, will drop a catchable ball. And look at the ability with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's a back. He's a receiver. He's an H-back, tight end, fullback. You can put him anywhere, and he will do a job for you. Aaron Rodgers would love to have Brock Bowers in this offense. But you got to keep Aaron Rodgers upright. He's coming off an Achilles, 40 years of age, all that. We get it. Brock Bowers, though, this year, you see the production drop a little bit. Why? Tightrope surgery. Had the ankle against Vanderbilt, missed some games, came back not 100%. That's why the yards per catch, touchdowns were down, receptions were down. So that's why 2023 numbers dropped, right? So, but you look at what he did his first and second year in that offense. He came right out of high school, and he was lighting it up, okay? This kid knows how to get open. He has a feel for the game that you can't coach or teach. And for Aaron Rodgers, like I said, do you take a Brock Bowers, or do you take one of those tackles I mentioned, be it Latham or Fuaga? That's a decision they got to make. Yeah, they really, I think, can go wrong either way. But if you want to roll the dice that you can get some good luck on the injury front, hope that line can stay healthy, you would take Brock Bowers at 10.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, being able to get more weapons for Aaron Rodgers to be able to use, add to Garrett Wilson, obviously, who is there, and Mike Williams. Hopefully he can stay healthy. By the way, if you did go offensive line, it wouldn't just be Aaron Rodgers you're keeping upright. You got one of the best running backs in the NFL in Breece Hall that you're opening up holes for as well. So if you did go with that tackle position, tell me a little bit more about J.C. Latham and what he could add to this line, because it sounds like Morgan Moses, like you had just mentioned, is going to be the starter there. So would he get time in year one, or would he be a guy that would come along slowly?
Daniel, you are doing an amazing job, pal, because I was just going to say that, and you're asking me the question I was going to answer, whether you asked it or you didn't. It's about J.C. Latham's ability to maul you, just destroy you at the point of attack as a run blocker, to helping out Breece Hall. Fuaga, the same thing. Fun to entertaining to watch these guys. They will beat you up, right? They're the heavyweight boxer that's going to get a lot of knockouts there. They are going to destroy you at the line of scrimmage, and they can pass protect, right? Because that punch, boy, will knock you off your game and take you off your game as a pass rusher. So for Latham, who didn't have many hiccups at all at Alabama as a right tackle, he says, hey, I got the skill set to be a left tackle. Don't pigeonhole me as a right tackle. And Fuaga's a right tackle. So for Breece Hall, guess what? The running game will be helped, and obviously Aaron Rodgers will benefit. So that's why Latham, to me, Fuaga are going to go very high. They're going to the top 15, more than likely, at worst, top 18. I've had Latham as high as 5. That's why I really believe, Daniel, if the Chargers move off of 5, Latham would have to be in the discussion. Jim Harbaugh wants to be physical. He's going to run the ball, right? They need a right tackle opposite Slater. That Latham kid is outstanding. J.C. Latham would have gone even higher if he was a left tackle. Joe Alt probably goes 7 to Tennessee because he's a natural left tackle. J.C. Latham says, hey, I can do it. I'm a mountain of a man, but I got feet, I got balance, I can move. Okay, he's the kind of guy that could prove to be a left tackle, but he hadn't done it yet. So I think that's why he drops just a bit down to 10 where the Jets are picking, or maybe a little thereafter. Or if the Chargers move down from 5 to 11, that would be a perfect pick for the L.A. Chargers.
I mean, you mentioned it, and I'm looking at this. He's 6'5", 342 pounds. He is a mountain of a human, Mel. By the way, the Detroit Lions went out and they drafted a right tackle named Penei Sewell, and that's worked out really well for them. So the idea that he's a right tackle, not a left tackle, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing in this situation. And let's take that into the Detroit Lions, Mel. This team, you mentioned it earlier on in the show, they might have been the talk of the league last year with all the things that they did. There was a lot of hype coming into the season. They go all the way to the NFC Championship game. Now they're drafting as late as they have in my entire life. I've never had them draft this late in the first round since I've been alive as a Lions fan. First pick is 29th overall in free agency. They did a handful of nice things, I think. Graham Glasgow and Kevin Zeitler to fill those guard positions. Added DJ Reader and Marcus Davenport on the defensive line. Also, the big move, brought in Carlton Davis as a part of that trade with the Bucks, which is even bigger now with the unfortunate Cam Sutton news that has come across. The Lions are going to have to continue to look at cornerback. So when you are the Detroit Lions, Mel Kiper Jr., taking over the Brad Holmes spot, what is it that you are trying to do to fill as many of these holes to make sure that you can get back to a Super Bowl contending spot in 2024?
Where they're picking, Daniel, you can just wait and see. You have positional need areas, right? You mentioned cornerback, pass rusher opposite Aiden Hutchinson, another receiver into the mix with St. Brown and Jameson Williams. Now you have guys that can catch the football late in games. We saw that hurt that football team when they needed it most, drop passes, right? Xavier Leggett from South Carolina is a big 220-pound receiver who put it all together. You know about Malik Nabers putting it all together? How about a guy like Leggett? He was a kick returner. He became this dynamic, uncoverable receiver for Spencer Rattler this past year. A.J. Brown-type big-body receiver. Look at him after the catch here, okay? Taking it 50 yards after the reception. You see him here, physical. Okay, it's 6'1", 220, extending with that catch radius to make the difficult reception. Here in the red zone, making another catch. To me, Xavier Leggett, late first round to a team like the Lions, you would say, well, that's a luxury pick, getting Leggett. No, it's not. You need more weapons for the Lions and Jared Goff. You're talking about in situations late in games, this guy will come through with the catch. I said he was a one-year wonder. That speaks volumes right there. That's proof positive. He was that one-year superstar. Look what he did. Look at the elevation, all the numbers. He was, like I say, a great kick returner prior to this. That's where he made his mark. He needed to step up this year for Rattler, and he did. So for Xavier Leggett, he made himself a first-round pick with the way he performed this season. If he's there for the Lions, he makes sense. Pass rusher is Chop Robinson from Penn State going to be around. He had a great combine, but guess what, Daniel? He didn't have great production, okay? Owe worked out well, didn't have any sacks, went to the end of the first round to the Ravens. How far does Chop Robinson drop? If he's there, opposite Hutchinson, makes sense, right? But you brought in Davenport. Can he stay and get, you know, he was a first rounder for a reason, has talent. Yep. So do you want to go Chop? What do you want to do there? But I think wide receiver with Xavier Leggett and others, Keon Coleman, Florida State, another guy, underrated with that 4.6 40, plays faster. He could still be on the board at that point. So there'll be some good luxury pick, if you want to call it, wide receiver options for the Lions late in the first round.
Yeah, it honestly doesn't feel like a luxury pick to me, having watched the Lions every single game as a Lions fan, because you're hitting the nail on the head. I love Amon-Ra, love what Sam Laporta did at the tight end spot, and I like what J-Mo brings to the table as a speed guy, but we don't have that big-bodied wide receiver, that guy that you can throw the ball up to, someone that is 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", that can be able to demand targets in the painted area of the field. So I think that would be a very useful part to this Lions offense. If they don't go wide receiver there, and I would love that decision, what cornerbacks at the end of the first round could potentially be available for them to target, given the idea that they need someone opposite now of Carlton Davis?
Wouldn't it be interesting if Cooper DeJean was there? Campbell was the first-round pick out of Iowa Hawkeyes program. And here's Cooper DeJean, who would have been a mid-first-round pick, Daniel, had it not been for the injury late, right? Coming out of that Iowa Hawkeye program, Parker, the coordinator, does a great job. Those guys are NFL-ready when they come in. Lucas Van Ness last year, Riley Moss came in. We talked about Jack Campbell and what he has done with the Detroit Lions as a mid-first-round pick, that surprise first-round pick out of that Iowa program. Cooper DeJean is there. People say, well, he's a safety. Well, let's say, I think he can be a corner. He's got cornerback skills. He's a versatile kid. He'll tackle. He's a guy who's a really talented athlete. People say, well, he's got to work out. When he works out, and hopefully he does before the draft, that's coming sometime in mid-April, Cooper DeJean, I think, could be solidly in the first round. Some think maybe drops to the second. I don't see it happening. I think he could be there for the Detroit Lions if he is. Cooper DeJean from Iowa would make an awful lot of sense. Well, Nate Wiggins ran that 4.28 40 out of Clemson. How high will he go? I have him going to that Philadelphia Eagles Steelers range in the first round with Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, Daniel going somewhere in that 10 to 15 range, and also Terrion Arnold from Alabama somewhere in that 10 to 15 range. I really believe Quinyon Mitchell Toledo, after breaking up all those passes, right, and running the 4.33 and having the great athleticism and what he did Senior Bowl week, is clearly going to put Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo as CB1, like I say, somewhere between 10 and 15. So Mitchell Arnold will not be there for the Detroit Lions in the late first round.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm excited to see what does happen here at the top of this draft. If you look at what the Lions did last year, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jack Campbell, Sam Laporta, and Brian Branch, four legit starters for their offense. Very excited to see what they're going to add here in the first round as well. Hopefully it's Cooper DeJean. I'd love to add another cornerback as well to the room. So very excited to see that. We got more coming up. We are not done here on First Draft, my friends. We've got the two Super Bowl champions, 49ers and Chiefs. What is Mel going to do for their draft position? Stick with us. We'll be right back. Back here on First Draft, Daniel Dopp and Mel Kiper Jr. doing a little armchair GMing, something we are both very good at because there are no stakes on the table. That's the best way to be able to do it, Mel. When you don't have any stakes on the table and you can just say, like, yeah, this is what I think we should do, that's the best way to be an armchair GM. Let's dive in, though. The San Francisco 49ers, the two Super Bowl teams. 49ers lost a handful of pieces on the defensive side of the ball. They have also added a few guys. Leonard Floyd came over on a two-year deal, and Devondre Campbell as well to come play linebacker for them. But you look at this team, they've got 10 draft picks, the most of any team that we have talked about today. A plethora of draft opportunities, including three fourth rounders. So Mel, you look at this 49ers team, they're already pretty stacked across the board. What do they need to do in this draft in order to make sure they can get back to the top of the NFC?
Well, you think from a need standpoint, that to talk about the right tackle position, I look at cornerback, I would put that up a little higher. Linebacker, wide receiver, Ayuk situation, but certainly they're always looking for guys in the trenches. The 49ers are. They've always been able to draft and bring defensive linemen into the mix there. That's what they believe in. It's like the Philadelphia Eagles. That's been their formula. But I really think cornerback and that right tackle spot are areas that they could address, and that off-ball linebacker situation. Edgerrin Cooper is a kid out of Texas A&M. Somebody's going to grab Daniel earlier than everybody is anticipating. I watched him over the weekend. He flies to the football. He goes from point A to point B in a blink. Where they used him, they moved him outside in pass rush situations, and he got after the quarterback. He closes so fast like a cat, right? And he can cover. Edgerrin Cooper, built for the way the game's played in the National Football League today, I think is going to go a little higher than projections have him right now. If you want to go corner, and that's a neat area for them as well. We talked about some of those guys that could drop. Is it DeJean there at that point? We'll have to wait and see on that. But certainly wide receiver, right tackle. I was throwing in Roger Rosengarten from Washington. People say, how can you put him in the first round or even the early to mid-second? I like what I saw in terms of potential, okay? He did have that very rough game. Let's call it rough game in the national title game. Overall, though, this is a kid who did a really good job maintaining that frame between the defensive end and quarterback Michael Penix Jr. He got movement as a run blocker, plays an aggressive brand of football. Had he gone back to Washington, it would have been a top 10 to 15 pick, I believe, next year. Roger Rosengarten wouldn't be a shocker. To some, it would be, but I think he goes late first, early second round. He would be in the mix. And also keep in mind one thing here, Daniel. Teams can somehow always want to trade back into the first round, right? Suppose a Michael Penix Jr.
Yep.
is still there in the late first round. Will a team jump back in to these spots where these teams are picking late round one that say, okay, the guy we wanted is gone. We'll get into the second, right? Remember when the Chiefs didn't get quarterback they had targeted in Paxton Lynch? They moved into the second and took Chris Jones, and the next year they got Patrick Mahomes. So teams that don't see the guy there that they want will get out of the first, move into the second, whoever it may be. Will Michael Penix Jr. still be around in the late first round? That will give these teams in that late first round area an opportunity to move out and pick up some extra choices if, in fact, that happened.
Missing out on Paxton Lynch and getting Patrick Mahomes is like the greatest thing that could have ever happened to the Chiefs organization. I didn't realize that that was exactly how it worked out, but that is very interesting. Mel, this
and
is
and Chris Jones, keep in mind, Daniel.
Exactly.
Hey, keep in mind, they wouldn't have had Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes had that trade been the best trade that never happened for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly. All right. When I'm looking at the San Francisco 49ers, last one thing here for me, Mel. You kind of mentioned it with the Detroit Lions, but it feels like While there are always holes on every NFL roster, this is one of those spots where you can almost let the draft come to you and say, what need can we decide we want to fill here based on how this roster is put together? Brandon Ayuk is an interesting one. Do you think that there is a chance they could potentially look at wide receiver at the end of the first if they do move Brandon Ayuk?
No question about it. Wide receiver is an area they could look at. I'll give you a name, Daniel, the kid I love. I love a guy who's a beast on the football field, who plays that warrior mentality, gets the ball in his hands, and he will attack. He will be like a running back who can break tackles. That is Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. He's drawing comps to Debo Samuel, right? So if Matt Miller, our own Matt Miller, who's the comp guru, right, says that, hey, Debo Samuel is kind of Malachi Corley, maybe the 49ers brass sees that ability in Malachi Corley they've seen already with Debo. So you look at Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky, has a second-round grade, right? Well, you always see those guys with second-round grades slip into the late first. Malachi Corley is an underrated player, great with the ball in his hands, great yards after the catch ability because he runs through tackles. And he is, like I say, a tough guy to bring down, Daniel. Malachi Corley, one of the more underrated players in this draft.
Love that. All right, Mel, we got one more team to talk about. Kansas City Chiefs, they brought home the Super Bowl trophy, the Lombardi trophy. They got 7 total draft picks coming into this draft. They also did a couple of things in free agency. They did bring back Chris Jones, who we had just talked about. A great move by them. Brought in Hollywood Brown as well. And they just traded L'Jarius Sneed for a 2025 third rounder and a 7th round pick swap with the Titans. So outside of, honestly, Travis Kelce, do you feel like they need to do anything else on the offensive part of the football? You look at the weapons they have. They added 2 young guys in Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown. Do they look at a potential Travis Kelce replacement in this draft, Mel Kiper Jr.?
You know, they have various ways they could go here. You mentioned the cornerback spot, but they have drafted guys like Williams and Watson that have length that can be brought in opposite Trent McDuffie, right? So you think about Morris on the offensive line, right? So they have done a good job figuring out what we need to do now and what we need to do for the future. Guys that we need to develop that could be heir apparents if we have to move a guy like Sneed, which they did to Tennessee, right? So they have done a great job having foresight, Daniel, not just worrying about today, where they're winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl because of Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and all these other players. Right? Bottom line is they are planning for the future very effectively, right? Each of the GMs done a great job doing that with Andy Reid. It's not just about today winning these Super Bowls. It's about keeping it going. And they know Mahomes is still very young. So we can't keep everybody. So when they lose somebody, the pieces are in place in terms of the young guys who have been developed within that program. So for me, Hollywood Brown now, okay, he's everything that they thought maybe Tony would be that Tony wasn't, right? Think about it with Hollywood Brown. They had Tyreek Hill, didn't miss a step, still winning Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill. So Patrick Mahomes keeps this thing going. So they have ways they can go here. You mentioned D-line, O-line, wide receiver, corner. Yeah, tight end. There's all these different spots that they could go, which is perfect. Or they could trade out of there if they want, let somebody else go in maybe and get that quarterback if they so choose. So this is a great opportunity. I think a guy like Adonai Mitchell, we talk wide receiver at the top, right? What happened with the Chiefs last year, Daniel? They dropped a ton of balls, right? Arch. Patrick Mahomes wins a Super Bowl with a team that was dropping passes right and left. Yeah, think about losing to the Raiders on what, Christmas Day, right? At home at Arrowhead. Think about Adonai Mitchell. What does Adonai Mitchell do? He doesn't drop balls. He's going to get drafted in the late first round area, early second round area. Daniel, he's got size, he's got length, he needs to get a little stronger, right? Could add a little weight to that frame, but he's got the height. And he's going to put on weight and strength. You can obviously do that very quickly. This is what you can't teach your coach. The ball skills, the hand-eye coordination. Watch him track this ball. Unbelievable. He doesn't drop anything. Patrick Mahomes is going to say, this guy's a breath of fresh air. Look what he did this year at Texas. Remember, he was at Georgia, transferred to Texas. Look at that. Everything up. All the numbers across the board were up. He has a guy like Xavier Worthy, opposite. Xavier Worthy is going to go high as well, ran at 4.21. He was productive as well in this offense opposite Mitchell. Both Worthy and Mitchell are outstanding, but if Mitchell's there at that point, he catches the football. And Patrick Mahomes is going to say, hey, when I throw it to you, can we have somebody that doesn't drop it? That's Adonai Mitchell's specialty. And like I said, he will add weight and will add strength to that frame. He could be really good another year or two.
Mel, I know I'm just a fantasy guy, but yes, please, let's get Patrick Mahomes some more weapons. It's so much fun watching him throw the football to these young guys. Obviously, Rashee Rice coming on, we love seeing that. We were really hopeful with Kadarius Toney, seeing what that could potentially be. Now they've signed Hollywood Brown. You still have Travis Kelce. If they could add another weapon here to give Patrick Mahomes more options, especially with MVS now gone, I feel like you're really setting yourself up in a really good situation. But I don't want to just talk about the offensive side of the ball. It's easy for me to only talk about the offense because it's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. What do they need to attack on defense as well in this draft?
I think you look at that cornerback spot and the defensive line. Obviously, keep adding to the D-line. There's going to be defensive tackles. We said in August, Daniel, that defensive tackle was an area that was going to be pretty strong, right? It didn't turn out that way. Byron Murphy II emerged late as the top defensive tackle, although his production doesn't match the talent and the potential he displays. Will he put it all together in the NFL? He could. Tavondre Sweat out of Texas is an underrated run stuffer who I think will be very effective, freeing up linebackers to flow to the football in the National Football League. Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. There are others. So defensive tackle, you can find guys at that point. The cornerback spot, we talked about Adonai Mitchell, Malachi Corley, Xavier Worthy, Daniel. Can you imagine if Xavier Worthy were there? With 4.21 speed, Tyreek Hill's a Dolphin. Like I say, Tony hasn't emerged. Xavier Worthy, I keep screaming, he's got to go top 15, top 20. But when you talk to me, well, he's 165 pounds. Field Yeats keeps screaming, Mel, he's only 165 pounds. You don't see those guys emerge in the NFL. Devontae was 166. DeSean Jackson came out of Cal, was 168. He was a second-round pick. Devontae, people say, well, he's more polished than Xavier Worthy. I watched Xavier Worthy drop passes 2 years ago in 2022 when he had a broken hand the second half of the season, Daniel, which he played through. So forget about those drops. I don't even count them, right? Some things, I remember I said Will Levis, I don't care about the injury, what he did. He was injured. Xavier Worthy was injured when he was dropping the ball. When he's healthy, he didn't drop the ball, and he runs a 4.21.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy, if he's there, unbelievable. I don't think he will be. We'll see. But keep an eye on Worthy and how far he drops down and what the Chiefs do in terms of maybe moving up and getting him.
Yeah, I'll give you one more name. And I get what Field is saying when you're talking about those slight, undersized wide receivers. But a guy named Tank Dell, who's 5'8", 165, lit the NFL on fire in his rookie year in a way that people did not expect, in spite of that slighter frame. So it obviously can be done. If you tell me that Xavier Worthy has Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback, I'm going to believe that he's in as good of a spot as he could potentially be set up for his NFL career. Back here on First Draft, Daniel Dopp and Mel Kiper Jr. Mel, we made it through our second full show. I appreciate you having me. We talked about a bunch of teams here, right? We went through a bunch of different places. I know that you've got a mock draft that just came out last week. We're going to keep an eye on that. You can go back and check that out if you want to see some more of the teams that we did not talk about. And Field has a mock draft coming out next week. Mel, Field's not here. Why don't you just tell us all, how's Field been doing with his mocks in year one? Is it all right? You got to give him a little like...
He's had one so far. This is 2.0 coming out next week. So he's got to pick it up with the mocks. But he's pacing it out. He waited until after he got all this information. He got through all the All-Star games and the Combine, the Pro Days. And he's been out covering the Pro Days, Daniel. So
yep.
Field is going to have it all covered. He's got all the bases covered. He's going to be talking to all his contacts in the NFL. And that mock will be coming out next week. The following week, my mock 4.0 comes out. So we're going to have it all. Mock. Matt Miller, Jordan Reed. We're going to go past the first round in the next few weeks as well into second, third round area. We're going to be covering it all. So I can't wait. Once we get into April, it's full steam ahead. It has been all year, but April, boy, I'll tell you what, mocks all over the place.
That's right. And April 11th, mark your calendars. We got a mega mock draft show. Mel Kiper Jr., Field Yates, Matt Miller, and Jordan Reed, all four of them coming on to be able to do a massive mock draft. It's going to be a really big, very fun show. So make sure you check that one out. Mel, I want to close this out in a way that feels most comfortable to me. Usually I ask you for a name or two of someone that I don't know. You've always got a nugget of a guy squirreled away somewhere in your head that we need to know about. Can you give me just a name or two that I need to tuck away for the rest of draft season?
I think when you look at the running back spot, I think Jaden Sherton out of Monmouth is a kid. I just like the way he runs. I watched him again over the weekend. I want to give Monmouth love because I tell you what, he's a guy who just played, ran hard, showed burst, ran well, tested well. If he slips through the cracks, Jaden Sheridan out of Monmouth, late rounder, priority free agent. I like the kid an awful lot.
Hey, I love that idea. I mean, you talked about it. Running backs probably not going to go super early. Might see some very nice guys go a little bit later in the draft. All right. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We will be back on Thursday. For Mel, my name is Daniel Dopp. We love you guys. Don't forget to love each other. Be kind to yourself. We'll see you on Thursday.